cliffcentral.com.
Okay, I'm just stopping that now. This is the worst song our producer has ever chosen, ever, and she knows it too. She knows it. It is the worst song ever. My word. Welcome to the show. My name is Andrew Levy. It is Frankly Speaking, and we are rocking and rolling here. It is unfortunately just me. Rorisang is still living his best life in Switzerland, France, Germany, Spain. Every European colonizer he is going to visit. I think he's doing the colony tour. Very interesting to hear what his feedback is on that. We'll be back again next week. And hey, we're continuing a little bit of a vibe here. Last week we spoke about the environment, and we got some environmentalists in who were pretty radical people, doing some really amazing things to try and save our planet. And at the end of the show, I asked both of them, are they vegans or vegetarians? And both of them kind of had this awkward, weird silence. Both of them were like, like they had been asked a really, really, really difficult question. And the answer to it was no. And so then Andrew did his typical social justice warrior thing, which was judge them for not doing more. And really recognized that in myself, and I felt I was, you know, I was happy with myself for recognizing that it wasn't to judge them for what they hadn't done, but for what they had. So it was really rad, and appreciate the work they're doing. If you haven't heard the podcast, really cool stuff going on there. So check it out. Go to cliffcentral.com/frankly speaking and check out the work they're doing. They give some tips on how to be more environmentally friendly, some really easy things as well. But today I thought, let's chat about this vegetarianism thing. Let's chat about being a non-meat eater. And I want to try and bring the conversation down into this idea of not it being aggressive. I have a feeling that our first guest is going to speak about all the facts and figures. And then I've got two incredible women sitting across me, Babalwa and Tegan. And we're going to have a conversation about being vegan, being vegetarian. I think Tegan was a vegan and now is more of a vegetarian. So it's going to be interesting to hear her perspective on things and really just understand what it means to be a non-meat eater, how one can do it, and is it worthwhile doing? I think that's the main thing. Is it worthwhile doing? So frankly speaking, does meat eating actually matter? Does it make a difference if you don't eat meat? And we want to take this conversation in any direction, and I think have a dialogue around it. So I've got some really cool people to speak to about it. And if you have any thoughts and opinions or questions about it, please hook us up on cliffcentral.com. You can WeChat us, or you can tweet us at Yebo_LEVY. And we'll take some questions, some thoughts. If you've had an experience where you were a vegetarian or a vegan and it just didn't work out for you, let us know why. I'd be very interested to hear. Our guests would be very interested to talk to you about it. Yeah, that's basically it. So let the conversation begin. Babalwa and Tegan, good morning to you. You guys look very nervous. What's going on here?
It's a very early morning.
It's a very early morning, eh? Tegan, good morning to you. You're a new, you've got a new role.
Do I? What's that?
Your new role is like, you're like the Adidas brand ambassador or something.
Isn't that cool? Hook us up with some free shoes.
That's exactly what I said. I just want some free tackies.
I just want NMDs, fam. The latest.
So can you hook us up with some tackies?
Oh, I wish I could.
You are the most useless brand ambassador I've ever heard in my life.
I'm the only brand ambassador. Just did a shoot.
Oh, just the face of it. Okay, cool. But by the way, you're doing some interesting things as well. Your CEO just resigned, didn't he?
Yeah.
Uber, you are the social media for Uber. How's that going?
So I've been doing, I've been consulting for their social media, trying to change it up, trying to make it like South African, localize it. And yeah, it's been really cool.
How's that working out for you, eh?
Hey, now. It's quite a task. It's quite a task.
All right, awesome. So we're going to be speaking to you two about being vegetarian, vegan. What are you, Babalwa? You're vegan or vegetarian?
I'm vegetarian.
You're vegetarian.
You're vegan. Oh, I tried raw vegan for a month.
Ooh, raw vegan?
Yeah.
Oh my word.
That was real.
We'll get into all these definitions now. We've also got Michael Glover. He's sitting in Cape Town at the moment. Michael, good morning to you.
Morning, how's it?
How you doing, man? Thank you for joining us. You seem to have all the arguments down. I've checked on Facebook here, and I must thank the Facebook community because they got me to you, and you've definitely given some good thought to the vegetarian argument. Let's just go back a little bit and talk to the moment where that aha moment in your life where you went, okay, I can't do this meat thing. Were you always a vegetarian or vegan, or was it just was there a moment in time where you were like, nah, I've got to stop this stuff?
So just shy of 10 years ago, I became vegetarian, and I did so because I was considering how I thought about dogs and cats and animals that I was accustomed to being around, and then making the connection between those animals and the animals that we eat and thinking there's not really much meaningful difference between the two. And that got me thinking about, well, perhaps I shouldn't be eating farmed animals. And so I tried it out and it seemed to work out really well for me.
So 10 years ago, you started, you went into vegetarianism first?
That's right.
And where are you on the scale now? Are you a vegan? Are you a as Babalos is a raw vegan? Like where do you sit on the scale?
So there's different kinds of vegan. There's raw vegan, ethical vegans, health vegans, environmental vegans. I am vegan for a combination of reasons, but probably the primary reason is for the ethics. So vegan for the animals.
Okay.
And that's my main motivation.
Let's bring in both people in studio here. Ladies, let's talk about your journeys as well. Maybe we'll start, Tegan, with you.
Okay.
You. When did you have your moment and what was the moment?
Okay, so in 2011, I did a yoga teacher training and it was kind of recommended, and it's something I wanted to try anyway to like maybe give like those 3 months to being vegetarian. So I was very happy. It was going well. In that time, I'd already made peace. I was like, this is what I want. It just feels good. I want to be vegetarian. And then I kind of watched Earthlings and I was like, oh.
Oh, my word.
Kind of don't want to be a part of the animal agricultural industry. And I became vegan pretty much immediately after that. And I was vegan up until probably a month ago, completely vegan. Recently that has changed. I think that has a lot to do with just me at the moment. I'm just kind of...
Oh, we need to explore that. Me at the moment. There's
moment.
A story there.
Hey, Babalo.
Yeah. You see a story there. Okay.
No, I felt like maybe a lot of my life was quite contained or quite controlled. And that about a little bit of dairy slid in, and that's kind of where it's staying. I'm not open to eating meat at all, though. I'm not open to fish. I'm not open to anything like that. So I'm still very much strict. I try to be as ethical even with what I'm having. So if I'm having dairy or I don't want to be eating eggs in random restaurants. I still try to... be as ethically conscious as possible. That's still my main focus, and at home I am pretty much vegan. I try order vegan where as possible. So if there's a little bit of cheese, I don't want to eat it all. I might have some, but it's not like I'm not as kind of reined in as I was, I guess.
Okay, so it's interesting because I know that a lot of listeners out there probably listen to this conversation and they're going, oh my God, look at these vegans and vegetarians, you know, hippies save the world.
Not even.
They like smoke dope and they, you know, don't, you know, cut their hair, you know, for fear of doing things. The people in studio, Michael, I can't speak for you, but the people in studio are pretty funky radical people. I mean, you guys don't look like vegans.
Babalo,
what's your vibe? Where did it start for you?
Okay, so I'm Zulu.
No.
When I got home and I told my parents, it was just like the biggest deal.
There is no word in Zulu for vegetarian.
There isn't, hey? There really isn't.
So how are you?
And inyama is such a big part of being Zulu.
All right,
crazy.
Okay, this
but
is
lucky, interesting. Lucky when I started, I wasn't at home. So that's how I was able to like get into the discipline. And basically what happened is that I went to Rhodes. So in my third year, when was it? 2012. So in 2012, I did a course in environmental politics and ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And our lecturer challenged us. She was like, if you can be vegetarian, and I'm an overachiever. She was like, if you can take on this challenge and be vegetarian for the 3 months of this course, extra credit. I was like, yes, girl, I'm going to go for it. Let's do this. And so then that's how it then started. And in the course, we explored the concept of anthropocentrism, right? And
What does that even mean?
I know it's such a big word, but it's actually a pretty simple concept. And basically what anthropocentric people do is what a whole lot of human beings do, is you live as if the earth was created to like sustain you. And so the way that you eat, the way that you live your life, and so the way you consume things, the things that you buy, you don't care what effect it has on any other species, on plants, on animals. You just live to sustain you. And I was really put off by this idea of the fact that you wake up in the morning and you'll have bacon for lunch, you'll have chicken, and for dinner you'll have like a steak or whatever. And so in those 3 months, that's when it was started. And it was pretty cool because at Rhodes we had a menu in the dining hall, so you could choose like a vegetarian there were 3 vegetarian options to choose from, which is great. And so that's like how I then got into the discipline of, cool, like I'm actually not going to be eating meat. And it wasn't that difficult in Grahamstown because it's not like we've got chicken licking for days, like, literally. It was either dining hall food
or KFC. The hot wings are still back.
Hot wings are my weakness, guys.
Here we go.
That's the one reason that I would go back to meat. Chicken hot wings.
Mike, let's bring you into it. You spoke on Facebook about sentiment, and the fact that animals feel things. Help me out with that, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't, you know, sort of do recognize in pets, but don't recognize in cows and sheep and lambs and pigs and so on. How would you respond to that?
Sure. So in terms of sentience, I think that sentience
You're 100%
right. That's
right. Apologies.
So sentience is really the core concept in animal ethics and thinking about animals as having ethical value. And what sentience just means, it means that animals have minds. They have minds which intend towards the world, they feel and experience the world, they have subjective states, affective states, and this means that they have emotions. It feels like something to be an animal. And because of that, we think that animals should be treated respectfully, should be treated with dignity, and should be able to live their lives as well as they can.
Is there a case for saying that animals don't think, feel like humans? That they do think and they do feel. One could argue that we agree on that point, but that they don't think and feel in the same way. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is true. I think that there are differences in how animals think and feel, and so animals have different neurological structures and so forth. But I don't think that they think and feel differently to the extent that they should not have moral value or not be treated respectfully. So there are differences, but I don't think that they are morally relevant differences between how humans on the one hand think and other animals think.
But by the way, you are nodding like crazy in studio here. You agree?
I absolutely agree. And that's the reason, that's the main reason why I quit meat, is because we shouldn't treat animals like they're not beings that are on this earth to exist for a purpose beyond just being food for human beings. And so like we should treat them well. Also, I don't go to zoos. I don't believe in the idea of the zoo, because animals are, they're not treated as beings that deserve to be treated with dignity. Because they have, I like to think that like they have feelings. Exactly what's being said is that they do have feelings.
You said you left home when you became a vegetarian. Overlap.
KZN, Margate.
Margate.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your thoughts and feelings on more subsistence, and maybe I'll put this out to all three of you, more subsistence farming? So for example, if I'm in rural KwaZulu-Natal or Limpopo, and I've got one sheep or one cow that then I look after really well, can go into the fields and rock and roll for as long as it likes, and when it's time to slaughter, then we slaughter.
Okay, I'll start, I'll answer. So my whole thing is, I don't believe that we should live in excess. And so if you're doing that for subsistence farming and for like keeping your family alive, that's okay. But the way that we live today is completely in excess. And so like animals are
commodities.
Exactly. We treat animals like commodities and not like beings. And in that case, they become a member of the family. And that's a different story, because that's a different life for the animal as well, then, I think.
So for me, I actually completely agree with that. I think if the world was working in that way, where someone had their own cows or sheep, whatever livestock they wanted, if, to be honest, if you are willing to kill an animal yourself, I'm like,
kudos to you.
I don't want to. And I realized also through watching Earthlings, I was like, I realized that I could never kill an animal. And that was so shielded from me, this idea of like this, that it went from like on the grass or wherever, probably didn't, but on the like grass to a packet. Like it doesn't, no one kind
it's
of.
It's so clean, the process, one, you don't see that.
No one tells you, no one shows you, you know, like there's a happy cow on the jug of milk, you know, like you think things are great. So of course you wouldn't know, advertising is amazing. And so that was like a big thing for me, is I didn't want to be a part of that whole kind of monetary industry. And then I was like, well, fuck, at the end of the day, I would never want to kill an animal. Like, I don't have the balls. So, like, now I just expect to buy it. And it's the same with fishing. Like, if you want to fish, I don't have a problem. I do have a problem with, obviously, trawling. But if you, like, if you're going to, like, catch a fish or whatever, that's cool. I just, I don't want to watch a fish die. So, I'd feel like I don't want to be a part of it.
These people are too good in here. Michael, have you ever fished or hunted before?
I went fishing when I was really young, but I can't say I enjoyed it. It felt really strange to put a hook through a fish's mouth, and I felt a bit bad about it afterwards. Hunting, I've never done.
I mean, all of you live in the world of meat eaters, and I'm sure there are a number of things that they say. You know, suddenly, as soon as you say I'm a vegan or a vegetarian, suddenly they all become dietitians. And they tell you a little bit about how you're not getting your protein, and what about your B20s and D4s and, you know, X5s and
it's
whatever.
So exciting.
It's my favorite conversation.
But I'm interested, and Michael, may we start with you. How do you change the conversation from being quite a defensive, aggressive one to actually speaking to people's emotions and actually convince? I mean, firstly, have any of you convinced a meat eater to become vegetarian?
No.
Should I start?
Okay, so no one in studio. Mike, have you?
Shit, I don't know.
I have been involved in a number of people's processes towards becoming vegetarian or vegan.
This sounds like a religious sector. No, like,
it's like there's steps and stages.
It's like, Mike. We're on a journey. We're on a journey together. Mike, tell us, how did you convince them, or what did you? How do you take them through it?
Right, so I think, first of all, the first thing to recognize is that people are very different, and they think very differently about these things. And so there's a variety of kind of strategies that one can use to get people to think more clearly about animals and about our relationships with them. So for some people, you can draw the connection, say, you can say things like, you love and respect your cat or other pets, and you can show them that there's not that much of a difference between those animals and the animals that we eat. Other people are more convinced by sort of environmental reasons, so the radical reduction of your environmental impact when you no longer consume animals. Other people like technical arguments, such as the argument from sentience, and that animals have minds and emotional states and so forth. So there's really a variety of ways one can do it. And I kind of try and suss the person out and see where their views are and how they think about this thing, and then opt for a strategy based on that.
It feels a bit evangelistic. I mean, do people criticize you for trying to preach the good word?
Yes, they do. They often make jokes that I'm some kind of evangelical or something like that. I remain undeterred by those sorts of criticisms and jokes, though, because I think throughout history, if you can imagine sort of a circle of justice, it's been expanding throughout history and including more and more and more groups. And I just think that animals are the next group to be included in as subjects of justice and beings that we take seriously and that we have ethical relationships with.
So I'm going to be critical of you, Mike, not because of who you are, because I have no idea who you are, but more because of the town that you live in Cape Town. There's an argument in South Africa which says that, you know, vegetarianism and veganism is so low down on the priority list. Like, there are people that live without houses. There are people that live without three meals a day. There are people that live without good education. Surely we should be fixing that. And of course, the easy answer to that is to say it's not one or the other. But how would you respond to people who speak to you on those specifics?
I think that's a really great question, Andrew. Thanks for asking it.
Thanks. So I like asking one good question a show. That's my main thing. I can actually end now. That's great. We're done.
Let's call it a day.
No, go for it, please, Mike.
So if you think about it in terms of there being issues which directly affect animals and issues which directly affect humans, one thing you'll notice is that in terms of the human issues, there's many, many people who are both aware of the issues and who are focusing on the issues and are writing about on the issues and doing activism around the issues and so forth. With animals, the numbers are truly extraordinary. So globally, it's about 50 billion land animals that we kill through industrial processes. And if you include fish, it's anywhere from 1 to 2 trillion beings that are caught. So the numbers of animals are extraordinarily high.
Say that again. Is it 2 trillion animals a year in our lifetime? Give me a
that's fish. If you include fish, that's the best estimates that we have. It's between 1 and 2 trillion fish that we kill via these trawling programs and so forth. In terms of land animals, so pigs, sheep, goats, cows, etc., it's according to the Food and Agricultural Organization, it's around 50 to 60 billion land animals a year that we kill. So the numbers are very big, right? And the proportion of people who are talking about the animal issue, it's very small. So that's why I feel justified in putting a lot of focus and attention on animals, because the numbers are huge, the issue's not well recognized, and there's very few people working on it. With humans, I totally agree that they've worthwhile pursuits to help people get houses and to live lives worth living and so forth, and to enrich their lives and their freedoms. But there's many people who are working on it. So I feel justified in focusing on the animals on those grounds.
Mm. Interesting. Just if you've joined the conversation now, we're speaking, frankly speaking, does not eating meat matter? And hold on before you turn off the radio right now, because I know when anyone says, oh, we're speaking to vegans and vegetarians, like, oh my God, why are you wasting our time on this, Andrew? Don't you normally speak about race and politics? Yes, we do, but we believe that this might be a worthwhile cause. And we've got Tegan Berger. She is a hardcore yogi as well as an Adidas, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, brand. But by the way, she can't even get us a damn flipping, she can't even get us shoes.
Maybe she will.
I don't even understand. We've got Michael Glover. He's Michael, you're at UCT, is that correct?
That's right.
What are you doing there?
I lecture economic history part-time, and I also work as a writing consultant, and I help design online courses.
Awesome, wow. Awesome. And we've got Babalwa Nyembezi, who is, have I pronounced that correctly?
Yep.
Okay,
perfectly.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I'm trying.
For a change.
who is the social media consultant to Uber. Gosh, your job today is going to be difficult, with the CEO literally resigning.
Friend.
But and so we continue this conversation. Very interesting to hear the thoughts. I just want to give you a bit of a personal experience. So one of my good friends has been a vegetarian and a vegan for a little while. And during varsity, he decided to become a vegetarian. And I remember challenging him so heavily and being so defensive of my meat-eating ways.
Yes, you people do that.
Yeah, thanks.
It's weird, isn't
don't
it?
I take it so personally.
Why
when
do
someone
we take
says
it so
that
personally?
They are vegetarian. I don't know.
I think it's like, it's our upbringing, and because I do think that this whole vegetarianism, this veganism thing is so new to not just like the world, but to, especially to South Africa. Like it's too shiny. Like, I mean, I go to a restaurant, and I actually went to a restaurant on Monday night, and I was like, cool, got two options.
Yep, that's exactly.
I kind of know what I'm going to eat now. Like, I guess that's it.
And
but
it's either pizza or pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Okay. But it's fine. I mean, it makes my life easier, so I really don't mind. But I think things are still so new that you're almost challenging someone's upbringing.
Yeah.
And I think at the base of it, I really do think that we all, the people who are taking it so personally, I I do think that they feel some sort of guilt. I've been there. I was that person also, like, oh, how do you live without biltong? I said those things.
Bacon. They'll always ask me about bacon.
I'm all about that. Yeah. Anyway, was all about. But I really think that we take it so personally because we know at the base of it, we're like, oh shit, this, it's kind of shitty what I'm doing. Yep. Like, I'm eating a dead animal, but don't challenge me. Don't call me out on my shit. Mm. Like, I want to keep eating dead meat. Like, don't tell me I'm being an asshole. Come on. Join me.
Yeah, but the thing
wit.
Is, for me, like, I always get quite upset when people are super offended by when I say that I'm vegetarian.
It's annoying.
Because I'll just be like, oh, no, I can't have that. I don't eat meat.
Yeah.
And it's so offensive. And I never understand why, because I'm not saying you shouldn't eat meat
exactly.
as well. I'm just saying, actually, like, that's not for me. I'm okay without it. And so it never makes any sense to me when people are super offended and then I have to explain why and defend and they're like, oh, my gosh, why? Because I don't ask people why they eat meat.
Exactly. So what I started doing, like, a while ago, is I stopped saying, especially in restaurant situations, I stopped saying I was vegan. I would just say, oh, I'm vegetarian, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
So I realized that was a big thing. As soon as people hear the word vegetarian, they're like, okay, cool, that's weird, but whatever. As soon as you say vegan, they are like, oh my God, are you being serious? You are the Antichrist. Stop now. And then as soon as I said vegetarian, it was like, oh, okay, whatever.
We can deal.
Yeah, we can
There's
deal.
Cheese.
I mean, like, it's awkward, but whatever. Thanks for that.
I'm interested to hear this societal perceptions. Michael and Babalwa and Tegan, what is your status in terms of marital? Are you single? Are you married? Are you in a partnership?
Thanks, what
do you call it? No. I'll tell you where my question's going. I'm not promoting. This isn't the
He's
online
going.
Radio Tinder. I'm just interested to hear what you got, just where you are, and then follow me on this this little course. So, just from maybe Michael, what's your status?
I'm single.
Okay, you're single, Babalwa.
I'm
it's
not
complicated?
Single. No, it's not complicated. Uh-oh. I have a boyfriend.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I'm not married.
I hope he does not listen to this podcast. Okay. Tegan?
I am single.
You're single. Okay. So there's a statistic in itself. Hey? Vegans are always single. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking with you guys. I'm just interested, Michael and Tegan, Babalwa will bring you in here in a sec. What it's like when you're dating and you are on a first date and you sit opposite the person and say you are vegan. What's been your experience of how these people react? Mike, maybe start with you.
Sure. So I try to avoid that situation by giving the person a heads up beforehand.
So you give them a heads up? You actually give them a heads up. What is this? In your
work?
Tinder profile, you've got, like, by the way, vegan. So, like,
is
that what you do?
For the animals.
Yeah, I guess it's important to me. And so I'm not sure I'd like to sit opposite someone who's eating a kind of a rack of ribs. I think that would just dull my mood and time.
Wow. So you wouldn't date someone who is non-vegetarian or non-vegan?
I think it would be quite difficult because at a sort of fundamental level, there would be a difference in principle.
Jeez.
I mean,
this guy takes it seriously.
There is the pool. But it's kind of easier. It makes decision making a little bit easier now for him.
What's your experience been, Tegan, when you sit across and all these guys trying to impress you and la la la, you know, you're the brand ambassador. You can't even get shoes.
Not even one.
Sorry. So we'll take that offline. We'll have another conversation about brand ambassadors that can't do anything. All right, but to help us out,
I do actually let guys, well, I don't know, I feel like guys just kind of know that I'm vegetarian. I feel like it's implied with who I am. I don't know, but I do tell people I'm vegetarian, and like when I say vegetarian, and then when I go on dates, it's also easier, and then they kind of, I feel like it's really nice, they choose restaurants specifically. I think
that's nice.
I feel like I've been going out with some gentlemen recently, and some of them, which I find quite impressive, have been ordering vegetarian. I feel like playing
the lies, the honeymoon lies.
They're not lying, they're just ordering on the first date. They're like, I'm gonna be polite. But in all honesty, I personally feel like I don't want to impose my beliefs yeah. and my stuff on another person, I don't have an issue with it. I think if there was a relationship that were to like evolve, then obviously I'd hope not that they would become vegetarian or anything, but that their life would be more it would involve less meat, basically.
Babala, you have got a complicated...
No, it's not complicated. I have a boyfriend. I have a serious boyfriend. It's been 2 years of him being a serious...
Is he a vegetarian?
So my boyfriend's Zulu.
So what is that? Now we immediately assume.
Assume that he is absolutely not vegetarian at all.
How do you deal with ceremonies where we slaughter mbuzi?
Sure.
I haven't been to one of those. Actually, no, my grand's funeral. So last year, my grand passed away, and because meat is a thing in our culture, obviously. And the more meat there is, the more prestigious the event is.
Oh, wow.
And my grand was a matriarch in the community, and so many were slaughtered for the occasion. And I mean, there's nothing that I can say or do. My parents are very sensitive to the fact that I'm vegetarian, but the rest of the family is just like, "Are we linyama? That's your problem."
Yeah. You
know? Like, sus. Actually, when we're dishing up, like when you have to take like plates of food to people, we don't care that there's beef on it. Like, you have to do what everybody else would do.
And
like,
I
if you choose not to eat it,
that there's a problem with that. I respect that.
Michael, how do you feel about that? If Babalo was to take you to a deep Zulu cultural ceremony, and they found it very offensive that you didn't eat meat, how would you deal with that?
I think it's a very tricky situation. So cattle, for example, are so bound up with the lives of so many Southern Africans and have been for at least the last 500 years.
Yeah.
It's really tricky. I think that... It wouldn't make me change my views. I would hope to engage people who are interested in my views or would be interested in a discussion and have a respectful dialogue with them about why I think that. And I hope that one day there can be some sort of replacement instead of slaughtering animals. I would hope that could one day be the case.
So, So what's
say
happened,
what you think. It's yeah. frankly speaking.
So what's happened with my family is that I don't think it's a matter of being sensitive. It's just a matter of, oh my gosh, it's so much admin having to slaughter a cow and like deal with all of that. So what now happens is, and I think this happens in a lot of townships, not rural communities, but a lot of townships as well, is that when there's a ceremony and animals need to be slaughtered, it'll be like you'll buy it and it will be slaughtered at the butchery. So there are butchers that exist in the townships that will do all of that for you, so then you don't have to see what the animal goes through. You don't have to deal with like cleaning the intestines, whatever. Like, it just arrives in packages and it's like already been done. And so that's what happened then last year, and so I haven't seen an animal being slaughtered since I was about 8 when they shot a cow.
Sure. This is a very interesting conversation because it is leading to a number of questions and difficulties, I think, in a lot of people's lives. If you're listening to this, we're talking about being vegan and being vegetarian. I can't say the word vegetarianism. being vegetarian. Simple facts about what it does to the earth and how one can better themselves. It's a lot of... the feeling that I'm getting from all of you is that a lot of people that are eating meat are simply eating meat because of the taste.
Yes.
So now if you think of someone like...
I actually disagree with that.
You disagree?
Yeah.
Help me?
I don't think that people are eating meat because of the taste. I think that we eat... Well, especially South Africans, we're eating meat because it's part of our culture.
Also,
across the
culture.
Because
we've never imagined another way of living. That's
and
very
unless
true.
Unless it's the type of house you brought up in. Yeah. Like, I feel like my transition, so to speak, was so easy because... my parents, we hardly had red meat in the house.
Yeah.
So honestly, unless even when we bred, I ate chicken. That was just my preference. Of course, I liked boerewors and then biltong. That's about as much red meat as I ate. Mm. The rest of the time was chicken and fish. And then you kind of like, on an environmental level, I was like, oh, don't want to be a part of the fish vibes. Not going to like that. Miss nothing about that. Mm. Chicken. Yeah, that's maybe the taste. Honestly, that was about it. But I think it's just our upbringing. The type of house you come from, that's what makes it hard. I mean, like, if you come from a house where you have bacon and eggs every Sunday or whatever, of course, like, it's part of, it's special to you, it's like a family, whatever, there's a story there. And then I don't think, I'm sure bacon tastes nice, but I'm like, oh, cool. Pigs are really clever. Like, it's awkward now. I don't want to eat a clever animal. I don't want to.
It's interesting you guys are speaking. Like, I'm wondering if people out there listening to this are going, oh, you guys are out to lunch. It's ridiculous.
I think they think that.
Yeah, like bacon is delicious. Boerewors.
That's exactly what people always say. They'll be like, oh my gosh, how do you live without bacon? And you're just like, but I do though. Like,
but
I'm
do.
Here, I'm okay.
I'm all good.
I'm all right.
Like I'm fine. Happy. How's your cholesterol? How's that heart disease going? Okay.
But you see it. You're being aggressive, and I think that those people are gonna shut you down because they need to then get defensive as well.
No. So I only ever say that if they're like, oh, how's that bacon? I'm like, I'm fine. And then they keep prodding.
When they get aggressive.
Yeah, like it's annoying. And I'm like, oh, well, cool. Like, yeah. I didn't bring it up. You asked me.
Yeah.
I just answered. And then I'm gonna be like, cool, just live with yourself. Let's watch some videos. Hang on. Let's watch pigs die.
Okay, let's talk about this. Michael, you're well versed in the subject. I think you're the oldest non-eating meat person here. Give me some videos or films that really brought home the message for you that you potentially pass on to meat eaters to say, hey, if you're interested in this stuff, watch this.
Look, there's so many. I think Melanie Joy's video on carnism, her TED talk on carnism is very good. I think in terms of getting a vivid graphic sense of what is happening to animals across various industries, Earthlings, as was mentioned earlier, is very good. Very difficult to watch, but I think that people should expose themselves even cursorily to this kind of footage just so they can have a sense of what this discussion is really about and what is really happening to animals. So there's a whole variety. I would say Melanie Joy on carnism is good. Gary Francione on veganism is really good. I mean, you can really just search factory farms, veganism, vegan videos, and so much stuff will come up. There's really been a proliferation of material in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm.
Guys in studio?
I think another great film, which I really think is light but very effective and not graphic, let's say.
Like Earthlings,
is Cowspiracy. I feel like that from an environmental point, it's kind of, it's not dark. You know, you can watch it and not like feel shitty about yourself. Yeah. You can just be like, okay, cool. That was informative. Yeah. I don't want to kill myself. Like after I watched Earthlings.
No, I'm better informed.
I'm better informed. But after Earthlings, I was like, I honestly, after Earthlings, could not stop crying. And I think the good thing about Earthlings, though, is it's not just food that they show you. They show you animals, all animals, as commodities. And that goes to circuses and zoos and things like that. And also just leather. And it kind of gives you a better understanding of how naive we are. I felt so naive. And
also,
I felt so lied to.
Also the impact that the way that we live has on animals and like things outside of us. Mm.
Yeah,
and that's
very
important.
I mean, like buying shoes and things like that. It's something we just like, especially as women, we're like, ooh, nice shoes, gonna buy them quick.
So cute.
Done. And then you're like, oh, leather. And then like, I mean, now I freak out about the idea of shoes being made in China that say leather because the chances it's dog leather are so high.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Right. That's a real thing.
That is crazy.
I mean, that is real. If shoes come from China, I'm pretty sure they're leather. I saw a new thing recently. I'm trying to think.
But Bella's laughing because she's like, your Adidas shoes are definitely from China.
No, yeah, but there's no leather.
Yeah,
no
but there's
leather.
No leather.
No leather.
Yeah, right.
Speaker game is strong.
Yes, girl. We want as well, though.
I feel like this has turned from a vegetarian discussion to how can we get brand ambassadors to give us free shit?
Okay, but wait, no, the one thing that's interesting, okay, I saw recently, and it's a South African brand, I'm trying to think of the brand's name, but with these parka jackets with the furry kind of hood, so it'll say faux fur, but then when they test it, they generally find a lot of like dog and raccoon hair.
That is so
interesting.
And it's generally all made in China, so it just... Things like that, like we're so detached from what we're buying, what we're eating. And I just think that's the better message, regardless of what you want to eat. If you want to eat meat but be a conscious meat eater, cool. Like that's, I'm glad you're conscious.
True.
But I think in general, we are just so unconscious of how we're living, how we're eating, how we're shopping.
Yeah.
Whether that's food or clothes. I mean, or where we're going, where we're taking our kids. We're taking our kids to zoos, these animals stuck in like these terrible like environments.
Right?
I mean, this are, like our Joburg Zoo is pretty shitty. I don't know if you've been recently, but it's not a vibe. It's gross.
It's not a vibe.
It's
Michael,
not a vibe.
Michael, your thoughts on this consciousness and living consciously, how difficult is that for you, given that South African retailers aren't the best known for putting out all the like, I suppose, ingredients, all the thoughts and facts about where things come from?
So in terms of food, I read the ingredients lists and often you shoot straight to the allergy section and that will tell you whether there is dairy or something like that. In terms of clothing and so forth, I do avoid wearing wool and leather and other animal derived materials and products. And most of the time I find I can gather from the labeling what more or less is in there. Look, there are some instances where there's, I think it was mentioned earlier, things like faux leather might in fact have leather in them if it's less than 6% and things like that. So I think it is really, really challenging when there simply isn't sufficient information. But I guess given the constraints, one does as best one can and just avoids animal products in my case entirely.
I like the idea of speaking, you know, not just about the food, but also about the environment. Let's just talk about that very quickly. The environment, I think, specifically in Cape Town with all these water issues, big issue there is around meat and how much water it takes to put a cow into a space where it can actually be slaughtered, and chickens specifically as well. Give us some sense. I mean, maybe we start with you, Michael, out there in Cape Town, and we'll bring it back into the studio here. Give us a sense of how bad it is on the environment, how bad this kind of factory farming is on the environment in terms of water, in terms of deforestation, in terms of all those kind of things.
So I think if you just think conceptually about, on the one hand, eating protein and nutrients from plants, so the plants grow in the ground and you eat the plants. On the other hand, you grow the plants, you feed them to animals over a number of years, they eat, and then you eat protein from their bodies in the form of flesh. So for cattle, for example, it's a reduction from it's 10 to 1. So 10 units of protein in the form of plants go into the cow and 1 unit of protein comes out. So there's a massive waste of protein and inefficiency in that sense. In terms of water, these animals are large animals. They need to constantly drink water. So on a vegan diet, you will be using anywhere from 10 to 50% of the water that an animal eater will be using. So you can radically reduce your water consumption, your land usage, the amount of CO2 and methane that you emit, especially in relation to cows, by being vegan. So across a number of different domains, one radically reduces one's environmental impact by not eating animals.
I'm interested to hear from Tegan and Michael. There's a big debate at the moment about vegetarians and vegans. And vegans going, oh, but if vegetarians, you're still part of the problem, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
So I think that if you start with the premise that you feel somehow uncomfortable or feel that it's somehow wrong to kill and hurt animals, and then in recognition of this, you become vegetarian. If you look at the dairy industry and you look at the egg industry, for example, male chicks in the egg industry are killed because they won't lay eggs. And in the dairy industry, when you drink milk, you have to recognize that is because a calf is not drinking milk. So there's two things that happen when a calf is born in dairy production. It either becomes veal, or it will be slaughtered very soon after. So this involves tremendous trauma, both for the calf and for the cow, because cows form very strong relationships with their calves. So the only way that you can actually get milk is if a calf is not drinking milk. And then at the end of a cow's life, so cows typically can live to up to 25 years, and in dairy industries, they will typically live to about 4 years. That's about 25% of their life that they are able to live. And then they are slaughtered after that and become cheap beef anyway. So if you're against animal killing and hurting animals, I think that if you look at the facts and you look at the situation, you will see that killing is still involved in dairy production, egg production, and so forth.
Tegan, yeah. You've recently moved backwards.
Yeah.
How does that feel for you? What's the...
Yeah, no, look, I 100% agree. I do think that... I do think the dairy industry is almost crueler, so to speak, than just killing an animal, because this you're keeping an animal alive and pregnant constantly for dairy. And so it is, it's like four, I thought it was 4 to 7 years, but yeah, so it's the same thing. I haven't been eating eggs a lot recently, but if I ever buy, I try buy from like a local farm sort of thing. So it's my main issue is always large production.
Yeah.
So that's generally my main issue. I'm not going to like try sugarcoat it. It's the dairy industry is probably way crueler. And that's why I do try keep my dairy down as little as possible. Mm. But it is something that I've kind of become a little bit lax to. But yeah, it's dark. I think the dairy industry is way, way worse.
Okay, but also there's a way to be vegetarian and not eat dairy.
Yeah.
You can get almond milk, you can get soy milk. So there's ways of...
But then, yeah.
But some people can say that's expensive, right? Like, what is it?
You can just be vegan then.
Almond milk is like 40 rand at
Pick n Pay. No, but soy milk's chilled.
Soy is quite affordable. Soy milk's quite affordable.
And it's disgusting.
No.
I really don't think so.
Stop. I have to have soy because I'm lactose. So I'm vegetarian and lactose. So there's ways of going around the dairy.
So do you only have eggs? Or what are you... Because if you're not having dairy, then what are you having?
I eat eggs.
So that's about it?
And yeah. Milk, not dairy milk, but like almond milk, soy milk.
But that, yeah, so you basically you are vegan, you just have some eggs.
I guess. Yeah.
Look at you realizing things about yourself.
Yeah.
On the show.
I think the difference with me, because I always think vegans are super, super hectic, and that's why they like look down on us vegetarians so much, is because I
Michael
don't.
Michael is looking down.
He
at
really
you.
Is. I could feel the judgment in his voice.
Judging you. 100%
like, I don't read the ingredients.
Like, why did Tegan go backwards?
Exactly.
Judging you
He's
guys.
So judgmental. So I don't, when I'm buying something, read like every single thing that's in it. I'm just like, okay, cool. There's no meat. Cool, let's go. Do you know me? There's no need meat. There's no dairy. Cool, mm-hmm. I can eat this. Let's go.
No, I'm all about reading.
You're pedantic.
Yeah, you have to be, because you go, oh, let me have some of this. Oh, let me have these like potato chips. Why does it have milk on them? Like, that's weird. Why do
marshmallows have gelatin?
Gelatin, yeah. And then like, I mean, almost all chewy sweets have gelatin in, and it's just, it's gross. Like, I don't want to have that. Mm. And then certain milks are made with like...
And I really like sweets.
Arenin.
Renin, yeah. Renin's in Parmesan as well.
Yeah, so yeah. That's like the lining of like calf stomach or something like that. Mm. So that sounds like fun.
All right, let's wrap this up, because I'll tell you, the feeling that I'm getting from this conversation, and please take this with no disrespect, is that we are sitting in a classroom and we've got the vegans up front. They're like the goody-goodies, yes, you know, like right next to the teacher. Then we've got the vegetarians who are just slightly behind them, you know, still interested in classwork, but also want to be seen as a bit of the cool
wanna
kids,
live
you know? And then you've got the guys at the back who just don't give a toss about what geography is and biology and the rest. And they're sitting at the back. How do you bring the guys at the back to the front? Or how do you just make the back guys realize it? Like, what's a guide to someone listening to the show who does eat meat, who might be conscious, who's thought about it? What's a guide? What's a first step? And I'd like all of you to answer, please, just from personal perspectives. What's a first step to going vegetarian potentially?
I just as a from my point of view, I think what we as vegetarians or vegans can do is just, instead of like pushing, so to speak, our beliefs or ideas on other people, I think what's more important is just live your own life
let that be the testimony, since it's like speaking about evangelical things. That's
exactly
true.
Like, if that like inspires you, and if that kind of looks cool for you, and you might be want to try it out and talk about it, then cool, then let's chat. And I think that's way more important. But the first step, I think, is like try things like occasionally, like try order like a vegetarian meal at a restaurant, see what it's like, see if you actually like, maybe it's your vibe, or try the meat-free Monday, try, honestly, I think, like, notice or even just acknowledge how much meat you do eat. Mm. Like, do I have meat three times a day? That's weird. I didn't know that. Like, I didn't even pick that one up. Mm. Like, even just when you're buying food, like, what type of meat am I buying? And thinking about, just even thinking, I feel like that's a big thing. It's like, very, I felt like I didn't even think. It sounds crazy.
Because all you meat eaters don't think.
No, I felt like I didn't think. I'm not saying meat eaters don't. I'm just but there's
like you're right. There's a lot of not being conscious. There's a lot of not thinking about the impact of your actions every day. And so that's the first step, is being aware. And I found that, like, with my circle, with my close circle of friends, they're more aware now of how much meat they're eating and what they're putting into their bodies, because I am so pedantic about, okay, cool, we can't go here because of this and that. We can't do this because I don't. And so, like, one of my best friends, actually, she's not vegetarian, but, like, she will happily order vegetarian over, like, a meaty meal any day.
Yeah.
And she does have no meat days when she just doesn't eat meat, because now she's more conscious of that. And so, like, exactly what you're saying, Tegan, is just think about it. Be conscious of the impact of your actions every day. And it starts with the No Meat Mondays, the testing out, maybe, like, cutting dairy out of your diet, and, like, trying to do, like, the little things.
Yeah.
Because what I found as well is that meat makes you very heavy. So as soon as I stopped eating meat, I was much lighter. Like, my vibes that were going out into the world were so much better, because I wasn't, like, eating the cruelty.
Now we got the hipsters talking here. Now we're in here.
No, but, like, honestly, so it's all of those little things. So try, like, a week of not eating meat and see how you feel. And that's what I'd say. That's what I'd suggest.
Michael,
can I jump in?
Yeah, go for it.
So I would suggest something slightly different. I would say start with one meal a day, so either lunch or breakfast or dinner, and say, I'm going to make that meal exclusively plant-based. I'm going to have a vegan meal. And when you do that, when you move away from a kind of a meat-centric or a dairy-centric way of eating, really what you recognize is that there is a huge variety of food that one can have. There's delicious flavors. It feels great to eat it. It's very healthy. And when you recognize that you're not going to die if you eat a vegan meal a day, then I think that kind of opens one's eyes, and then you can move towards just opting out of meat and animal products entirely.
Yeah.
I would just finally, just in terms of the environmental thing, I would recommend a documentary called Cowspiracy to give some real insight into the effects that animal agriculture has on the environment. I think that's an important point to mention.
All right, guys, we're coming to the end here. Thank you so much for your time. I indulged a little bit, because normally Rory and I have to give where we sit in this conversation, what's our position, and I didn't do it in this conversation specifically because we're speaking to the converted here. I'm actually also a vegetarian, been so for a year, and started with just doing it for a month and trying it out, and realized that actually I lost 3.5 kilograms, which was fantastic. Felt great. People saying I look like Brad Pitt all over again. It was amazing. That's probably because I'm white. We all look the same. But which is great for me. It's a plus.
I'll take it.
I'll take anything. But I think more importantly, you know, there are real consequences for being vegetarian and vegan, and I think you just need to monitor those. So, for example, I'm anemic. And one of the big things is protein, obviously. So all you need to do is find ways in which to get ions.
Yeah.
And there's tons of things out there. So I think, to your point, Tegan, it's quite interesting. I think thinking is probably not the right word, but just investigating, being curious about it and saying, hey, can we do better? One of the reasons I became vegetarian was I went to the Philippines on a holiday. We went to this really beautiful island, amazing, like majestic. And was sitting in the middle of this island looking forward to a fish meal, and they said, just to let you know, there are no fish on this island. And the reason why was because of trawling, and because the fishermen had used dynamite to bomb the coral reef. So there was no fish. Yeah. And that really gave me this moment to think, wow, something is wrong. Something is truly wrong in this world. And it took me 2 years after that moment to actually become vegetarian. So it is a process, as you said, Michael, it is a journey. But hopefully, if you are listening to the show, it might be a starting thought process for you if you are a meat eater. God, bacon is delicious. Wow. And chicken wings. Whoa. Chicken wings. They do something there. But guys, very quickly, just as we end, where can people follow you and potentially follow a good resource that you've enjoyed around vegetarianism and veganism? Tegan, let's start with you and then we'll go through to Babalwa and then Micah in Cape Town.
So I think a really good resource, because I think it's also very simple and healthy, is a lady called Deliciously Ella. Mm. You can find her on Instagram. You can go to her website. She's got great recipes and honestly, like, super simple. Like, she does a lot of like one pot deliciousness. Mm. My Instagram is Tegan B Yoga. I don't post that much about food, but I do occasionally, if I've cooked something, I'll like Insta story it and share it.
Well, maybe there's a new thing there for you.
Maybe there is.
Because she's not giving any shoes away. So no, don't slide into a DM and ask her for shoes. She's not going to give them to you. Bye-bye.
Really not. So I follow this vegan lady on Instagram and I love the stuff that she does. I even ended up buying a NutriBullet because like she NutriBullets all her food. I can't remember her name for the life of me.
Oh my word. We'll get it onto the show.
Super cute. I'll tweet it. I'll tweet it out just now. And so you can follow me at @Bubs_Nyembezi on Twitter.
Awesome.
And Instagram as well.
Michael, where you at?
I'm at Michael Glover on Facebook. I'm wearing dark badass shades in the profile pic, and I'm happy for people to DM me, and I'm really happy to send people links and resources and suggestions to follow. I don't want to give one person to follow because there are so many different people and so many different ways of looking at it and things that people might be interested in.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I think a good documentary was Cowspiracy, so check that out. And also Melanie Joy, check out her TED Talk. And just start small, man. Don't think of the world as having to change immediately. Maybe just do meat-free Mondays or start for a month and then take it from there. It's been a fascinating conversation about what the positives and negatives of vegetarianism and vegans are. I look forward to the debate and fight between vegans and vegetarians. But for the moment, thank you so much. And if you missed any of the conversation, check it out, cliffcentral.com/frankly speaking. Rory is back next week, which means we'll probably be talking Gupta's politics, black and white, white and black, male and female. It's on, ladies and gentlemen. Have yourself a lackaday. Ciao, ciao. Be well. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. CliffCentral.com.